join me in the call to worship in the back of your bulletin? Whose story is this? This story is God's loan to tell. It hums in the rivers and trees. It whispers in the skies and the seas. It calls to the people of all places. It speaks in our hearts, in our lives. Why then should we speak of this story? This story calls our name in creation. This story claims our lives through the cross. This story shapes our future through the Spirit. We are its telling and the time and its place.
We will have the words up here, but it is also number 6 in your hymnal if you'd like to follow along with, if you want the music as well. Welcome, everybody, this morning. It's a beautiful day. Sun is shining. Blue skies. Beautiful. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced? Okay, welcome. The announcements, please check your announcements. There's some I'd like to highlight. Number 1 is slightly different than what we have listed. Condolences go out to the family and friends on the passing of Valentine Harder, age 92, on Tuesday, February 3rd, 2015. There will be an interment service at Glen Eden on Monday at 9:30 a.m. We will be needing 6 pallbearers. If you can help, please contact Pastor Gary. As well, a celebration of Valentine's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, February 13th at Voyage Funeral Home, 220 Hespeler at Henderson Highway. May the Lord provide all the families with strength, comfort, and peace during this difficult time. Other announcements. Number two, please continue to pray for Abe and Elsie Bartell as Abe recuperates from his surgery. And also, please remember to keep Gary and Donna Hebert in your prayers as well. Gary has now begun his cancer treatments. Number eight, last week, Teen Challenge tried to play a video called I Am Determined. It's a beautiful video. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out well. If you would like to view it, it's available on YouTube. There's the information there. Also, if you just Google I Am Determined in YouTube, you can find it as well. Number nine, the search committee has completed a job description for the new half-time position of faith development pastor to replace the current youth worker position. Copies are available both in the foyer and the display rack in the education wing. Please keep this process in your prayers. If you are aware of people who would be interested in this position, have them email the search committee at nkmc@mts.net. And lastly, I don't know if everyone knows, but Sunday school is meeting. Adult Sunday school is meeting at 9:45 many Sunday mornings. And we're reviewing the Mennonite Church Canada Being a Faithful Church document, which is basically asking us to determine and discern faithfulness on matters of sexuality. All are welcome to attend and participate. It's very interesting sessions. I got a little bit ahead of myself. Children's story is next. If all the kids would like to come up front.
Good morning. How are you today? The grown-ups in church today are going to be hearing about doing things that we're good at and gifts that we have. So while I was thinking about what I could do with a children's story that would maybe help you understand that, I remembered that and I'm telling this to you guys, no one else is supposed to know, I collect potato heads. So while I was thinking about this story, my potato head collection popped into my head, and I started to play, and I got this potato head. What do you notice about him? He's funny, but what do you notice about him? Astrid. He only has arms and hands. He only has arms and hands. Now, he's kind of fun, but do you think you'd like to play with him for a very long time? No, because he's just hands, right? Okay, I got another one. What do you notice about this guy? He only has ears. Yeah, so he's kind of fun too, but after a while it would get kind of boring just putting ears in a potato head, wouldn't it? Yeah, he can only hear. Oh, I got one more. Oh, what do you notice about this one? Only has eyes. Yeah, he's got some cool eyes, Mr. Incredible eyes, pirate eyes, but still not very interesting, right? That's kind of like sometimes people think that they're good at only one thing, or I think one of the things we might want to think about is what kind of church would we be if we all were just people that could see? Would we be a really good group if everybody just could see? Exactly. There'd be nobody to walk and take us places. How about if we all could just help? It's pretty good to be a helping kind of a person, right? But do we not sometimes need people to help? Like, we have to be helpers, but sometimes I need help, right? But if I'm always helping, can I be somebody that... Okay, it's hard to explain. Okay, the best guy I got is here. Look, what does he have? He has eyes. What else does he have? He has hat. He's got feet too, but they fell off here there. So he's got everything he needs, right? What do you think is the most important part of him? His feet? That's okay. What do you think is the most important part? Is there anything that's more important than anything else? Jalen? Oh, Jalen, I love you. Yes, the most important part is that he has everything. There is a part of him that has the hat, which looks pretty. There's a part of him that has a nose so he can smell stuff. He's got hands. He's got feet. He's got the whole deal. He would be fun to play with, wouldn't he? Okay, so can we bow for prayer? God, help us to be the kind of church that has everything it needs to do your work. Amen. And you guys can go to Sunday school. Oh, wait, grade 3, 4, 5 is supposed to stay. And the rest of you, yeah. Phil needs you.
Good morning. Just a little quick story about the reason why prayer is so important to me. Prior to July 2012, which is when I had that knife thrust in my spine, which has been plaguing me all this time, I remember I tried to look and talk, you know, the Christian talk, and I would recall saying to somebody, "Oh, I'll pray for you." And then I would go home, and maybe that night I would pray, or maybe I wouldn't. But either way, they were forgotten about. Then after that incident, my faith all of a sudden became very real to me, and I recommitted my life to Christ. And it didn't take me long to realize that where Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." And I realized that when I say to somebody that I'm going to pray for them, I am making a commitment to them. And I'm making a commitment to God. And by not following through on that, I am breaking both of those commitments. So that's when I came home and I started making up my prayer list, which I keep going to this very day. I notice here it's written, "Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God." Prayer is something that everybody can do. And what we're trying to do here, or what the plan is, we want to have each church organization that is working within our church, we want to have people in place that will pray for that particular organization. In this case, it's the Boys Club. So what we're asking here is that if you're able to, there's sheets of paper in here that describe the program. And there's also a sheet where you can write down your name and your email address, or if you don't have an email address, we'll just put it in your mailbox if there's any special prayer requests for that particular group. And just fill that in, and you can put it in the mailbox if you want to keep it. There's extras in the back. And there's also a special email address set up where you can just email me the information if you would like. So the idea is to pray for the Boys Club for whatever Monday, whatever they're doing, their special requests, that you pray for those special requests, but that you generally just pray for the Boys Club, for the leaders, and for the boys that participate in the club. So it's all explained in there. I think I've just kind of done it briefly, so Phil, if you'd like to.
All right, so a brief rundown of the Boys Club. It's a small group this year. There's probably 8 boys on any given night, and it's also small with probably 2 leaders on any given night, so we could use more of both, so I guess that would be something to pray for and prayerfully consider if you're someone who could be the one of the volunteers in particular. And then also as far as prayers for the Boys Club, well, I guess to explain the club, we play games, we have learn a Bible lesson and do crafts and try to keep everyone from getting too injured in over an hour and a half, both physically or emotionally. Prayers for the leaders would be for patience and wisdom, and for the kids that, I don't know, pray that they listen and it doesn't just kind of go in one and out the other ear and they're back at each other. It's all, every kid is a good kid. And they all have their own personalities, but sometimes those personalities clash, and so that's something to pray for. So, all right.
Okay, so if you have it in your heart to pray for the Boys Club, please let me know, and then I will send out updates as they come. But other than that, then just every week you just pray for the Boys Club and all those who participate in it. Thank you.
If you'll join us in singing Wind of the Spirit.
sharing time. Is there anybody that has something that they would like to share with the congregation?
I just figured I would wait with this one. January 11th, I had talked about my back pain and what had happened in July 2012. That knife stabbing pain that hit me. After January 11th, I can't tell you exactly what day it happened, but that knife out of my back is gone. And I just thank all of you for your prayers, and I thank God for listening to the prayers and for granting me that blessing. I'm still left with a lot of back pain, but that knife stabbing pain is history. It's gone. And I praise God for that. And I thank all of you for that. Thank you.
Anybody else? We have a microphone in case you would like it brought to you.
My name is Heinrich Lassen. My wife Rosa, she had on the February the 3rd hernia surgery. She was staying in the hospital for 3 days. I found enter the church and announced and asked for a prayer that the pastors were healing, but no reply on it. Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Thank you.
This is the song, The River, that we've played many times, and it's truly a prayer about the process of coming to Christ.
The river I am going, raining sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you.
Lead me closer.
dear God, we thank you for this day. We ask you that you be with us as we do our best to build our families, our church, and our community. Help us to discern our abilities and the needs of those around us. May we be brave enough to help where we are needed. Please also be with those of us that are ill, injured, or troubled. May we be brave enough to accept the help from those around us doing your will. Please be with our city and provincial leaders as you work through them, as they help us build a good place for us to live. And please be with the leaders of the countries around the world. Help them to see your wisdom so they may enable building a world worthy of what you created. We know that building up is the right thing to do, and that starting with a firm foundation is necessary to build something that lasts. But sometimes it seems to take so long. Please give us a healthy balance of urgency to get things done and patience while you work through us to achieve your goals. Amen. We will now take the offering.
Jesus Christ dwell in you.
Let the words of the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in you.
And whatever you say, and whatever you do.
And whatever you say, and whatever you do.
Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead to give us new life in him. Let the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ rule your heart.
Let the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ rule your heart.
And whatever your gift, and whatever your part.
And whatever your gift, and whatever your part.
Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead to give us new life in him.
Let the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ guide your way.
Let the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ guide your way.
Whether walking by night or walking by day.
Whether walking by night or walking by day.
We'll walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead to give us new life in him.
Words of the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in you.
Let the words of the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in you.
And whatever you say, and whatever you do.
And whatever you say, and whatever you do.
Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead to give us new life in you.
I will be reading from Romans 12, 1-8. Dear friends, God is good, so I beg you to offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That's the most sensible way to serve God. Don't be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him. I realize how kind God has been to me, and so I tell each of you not to think you are better than you really are. Use good sense and measure yourself by the amount of faith that God has given you. A body is made up of many parts, and each of them has its own use. That is how it is with us. There are many of us, but we are each part of the body of Christ, as well as part of one another. God has also given each of us different gifts to use. If we can prophesy, we should do it according to the amount of faith we have. If we can serve others, we should serve. If we can teach, we should teach. If we can encourage others, we should encourage them. If we can give, we should be generous. If we are leaders, we should do our best. If we are good to others, we should do it cheerfully.
Need to start with a bit of a disclaimer today. I've got a bit of a cold, and so my head feels about like that. So if I all of a sudden slip into telling you stories about my childhood or an old sermon, just smile and be nice, okay? Actually, Adina Peters gave me a pill before. I have no idea what it was, but boy, is it working. So we got to get a hold of her and find out what that was. I need more. Just want to pick up on two announcements, if that's okay, James. One of them is there's a conference coming up, our area conference, Mennonite Church Manitoba is meeting, and they've asked if we would do look after billeting, if anybody needs billeting. So if you're able to help on that, that's fine. If not, I'm probably giving them randomly somebody's name as a in charge, so please call me. Also, in terms of the service tomorrow at the Glen Eden Cemetery, we really do need a number of people to help with as a pallbearer. So if you can help out at 9:30, please let me know. Otherwise, I'll be carrying it. And all of you are welcome. Anyone is welcome to join us there. Let's take a minute to pray before we take a look at the text. Thank you, God, for the way that you have not only come to touch our lives and make us whole, but you have made us an important part of your ministry. Thank you for the joy that you bring, the sense of hope, the love that you give us for you and for others, for the way that you change our lives. One of the things I enjoy doing as I drive in every morning to church here is to keep an eye on the building projects that are going on. It's really interesting as you drive along and every day you can see some change and some things going on. It's kind of fun and exciting, whether that's they're fixing an overpass on the way or a house or a larger building is being built. There's a building up here just a few blocks up on Edison. There's a hole in the ground, and I'm assuming they're building an apartment block there or something. I keep driving by, and for the last few months, it doesn't look like it's changed. There's people there, there's equipment there, and there's a hole there. So I'm assuming what's happening is they're working on the foundation. They want to make sure that that's solid, so when they build this building later on, it stays standing straight instead of doing that. This last November, one World Trade Center was opened. I don't know if you caught that on the news. That's where the Twin Towers used to be. This thing is amazing. It's 1,776 feet tall. For those of you who are into American history, 1776. Pretty bright, isn't it? Anyhow, it took them 8 years. They started in 2006. It took them 8 years to put that thing together. $3.9 billion, that's with a B, dollars to put it up. And you take a look at that and you go, oh my goodness, what's going on here? Surely they could have done that less expensive. Well, it turns out that they wanted it to stay standing, and they did some fancy design there with the wind. If you take a look at it, it goes from four-sided to eight-sided as it goes up. It's supposed to withstand airplanes and fire and all sorts of cool things. To make that thing a good building, they had to put a lot of time and a lot of energy. It took them years to draw up the plans for that thing. Today, we want to talk about building a good church, not the physical structure. We've got people to look after that. We're talking about what's really important. Those of you who are sitting in the pews, those of us who are here today, how do we build a good church? So where to start? Three little pigs. I'm assuming that you know the story of the three little pigs. Quick summary here if you don't. So there was a mother pig. She says to her boys, "You've been mooching off me long enough. Get out there and make your own way in the world." So the first one, he must be a gamer or something like that, gets out there and says, "I want to do this fast and cheap because it's wasting my time and my money." So he's been watching the travel brochures, see these grass huts. He said, "That'll do. It'll keep the sun and the rain off. Let's do this thing." Up he goes, a grass hut, takes him very little finances, very little time, and he's back enjoying himself playing games. Second little pig says, he's into watching sports. He said, like something a little more solid than that. Sun in the rain. Let's keep the wind out too. I don't want the walls doing this. So he spends a little more money, a little more time, builds himself a house of wood. Third little pig, seriously OCD, or I guess CDO is the proper way. And he says, let's, you know, do it right or go home. He wants to build a good house. So he does his research, goes online. How do you build a house? Figures it out. Gets the foundation up and he says, okay, what is the most cost-effective way to do this? I want a good house and it's supposed to last a long time. He settles on bricks. The guy's got to take a mortgage out to build this thing. So he finally gets it done And he's got this house and he sits down. His brothers, their houses almost need renovating already. So he finally gets his house done. And then the wolf comes. I wonder about this wolf, because if he would have come during construction time, he could have had all three pigs pretty simply. So he must have been on holiday. So here comes the wolf. And you know the routine. Comes to the first house, says, "Let me in." He says, "I don't think so." So he blows the house down and he eats the pig. Or if you read the Mennonite version, the pig runs off to his brother's house. Goes to the second house, same thing, blows down, eats pig, goes to the third house. And he says, "I'm going to let me in." He said, "No." He says, "I'm going to blow your house down." He says, "Go for it, but do it quietly. I'm watching Little House on the Prairie." So the house blows, pig blows, or the wolf blows until he hyperventilates. And he says, "Got to be a better way." Up on the roof, down the chimney. Smart pig. He knows it's coming. He's got a big pot of water there. Wolf goes down into the pot of water, turns him into borscht, and brings him to church potlucks for the next 6 months. Okay, so there's the story we're working with. We want to be, talk about the third little pig, building a good, solid building. How do we build a good church? Just a few comments about that story I should tell ahead of time. I found it really interesting. I did a little research on that one. I knew the story mostly, but that story came about, I think, about late 1800s. It has been made into movies by Disney in the 1930s, by MGM. I think it's been on all the Shrek videos, if you've watched them. I look at the congregation. I'm sure you watch Shrek, okay? It's been on all of those. It's been used to explain lots of things. I saw one story where it was used to explain the subprime mortgage housing fiasco in the States. So, anyhow, I guess we all have wolves and pigs in our lives. We want to take a look at how you build a good church. But before we do that, I want to identify a few ways in which, a few kinds of building material that we can or are tempted to use in the church, which are in fact straw and sticks. One of the things that slip into the church pretty easily as inferior building material is focusing on tradition. Nothing wrong with tradition. Tradition's wonderful. We come in and it's familiar and it allows us to worship. When we look back at Sundays like Eternity Sunday, we sing a German hymn and everybody cries and it really pulls us in. But when it becomes our focus, when the function of the church is to maintain tradition, strong. Another one is exclusion. We never would say this. We are way too polite for that. And we all, typically on a Sunday morning, people go to church where they understand the language, and it's comfortable when you kind of know the tradition behind the people, and we like a church that's familiar. But we also have this way of sorting people out at the door. And people feel comfortable or uncomfortable in the church depending on how we respond to them. And sometimes we sort people out by their race, or by their socioeconomic status, or by the kind of service they like. Lots of ways that we sort people out. And when we start sorting people out and say, "You are welcome here, we feel uncomfortable with you," we've got a problem. We're building a house of straw here. Another one, and I was wondering whether I should mention this or not, is when we define who we are by the struggles of our past. Now, that shows itself in two ways. One way is sometimes we look back at the struggles we've had within the church and we say, "Oh, what kind of people are we? We're terrible people that these happen." And we land up with really low self-esteem. Linda and I are going to be dealing with that next Sunday. The other thing that happens is we come to church and it just grinds inside because we continue to remember the ways in which we have been treated wrong or bad things happen. Just kind of unresolved stuff happens. The reality is, churches go through difficult times. They all do. Stick around for a while, and you'll see that. That's normal. What we need to do is we need to let go. We forgive where we need to. We deal with what we've got to, then we put it on the shelf, and folks, we move on. We move on as God's people who are coming together to worship and celebrate and learn. And when we get stuck in the past, it's like a house of straw. Let go. Another one, another piece of building material that could be considered straw or sticks is entertainment. Churches that entertain. Now, we all want to have a church where people come on Sunday morning, they say, oh, that was wonderful. The singing was good and the children's story was great and all those kinds of things. But if our focus becomes how do we entertain, we've missed the point. Christine talked about that when she was here a few weeks ago. Feels like a few years ago. That our focus needs to be different than entertainment. We want to do a good job, and our worship committee and our music committee work really hard to do that, and the people involved each Sunday. But that's not the focus. And if it is, watch out for the wolves. So we want to build a good house. Where do we start? We start with foundation. Now, what's our foundation as a church? We heard Terry Teeson mention this last week. What did he say? 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no foundation can anyone lay other than the one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we say Jesus is our foundation. We look to him as our example, as the one who made it possible for us to get there, sort of like Hebrews 12:2, of keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross to go on to enjoy heaven's glory. So we keep our eyes on Jesus. He's our example. He's the one that makes this possible. Jesus is our foundation. Okay? Is that good enough? But there's more to the foundation. How do we understand Jesus? Well, we read the stories in Scripture. And then we learn not only the teachings of Jesus, but we see how the early church in Acts lived it out. We see how Paul sort of pushes and pulls in the epistles to the various churches about what it means to live with Jesus as a foundation. So part of our foundation is Scripture, and part of our foundation is tradition, our history. For 2,000 years, the church has been struggling to faithfully follow the way of Jesus. So we look back at the story of the early church and we say, that's how they functioned with Jesus as their foundation. We look back at the story of Anabaptism. Many of you have a background that goes back to Russia. And we look back there and we say, oh, look at how they lived. Wow, that's what it means. And many of us even look back one generation. And some of you lived in Russia and came here, and the struggles we went through, and we listened to your story. And that is part of our foundation. You have taught us what it means to have Jesus as our foundation. And there's more. The Holy Spirit is part of that mix, isn't it? In talking about this in Sunday school. We look to the Holy Spirit to help us understand how to take what Jesus taught and lived and apply that to our lives and to our church. Which is great. But now things are starting to get a little less solid in the sense that we know what Jesus taught. It's written there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? We know the history of the church, where it went well and where it didn't. When it comes to the Holy Spirit guides us day to day. And so we know how the Spirit led us yesterday, and today we need to be open to that. What's it going to be? We'll have to wait and see. And talk to each other and discern. The next thing I was going to mention about foundations doesn't sound foundation-y, if that's a word. Flexibility. Our foundation needs to have some flexibility. About 30 years ago or so, they started working, and some of you are in construction, maybe you can come and straighten me up in my timeline here. About 30 years ago or so, they started working with how to build foundations in buildings where there was earthquakes on a regular basis. And one of the things that they're experimenting with is foundations that have some flexibility. So that when there's an earthquake, instead of it shattering the house, all the concrete, it kind of rides through it. And so the foundation, which keeps the house up, has flexibility to make it work. Those of you who are into mechanics, it's like the engine in your vehicle. The engine in your vehicle is bolted down solidly. I haven't had one fall out recently. But How are they bolted in? Have you ever checked? They've got something called motor mounts, which incorporate rubber blocks. If the motor was bolted directly to the frame or the front clip, depending on your car, if it was bolted directly there, the whole car would be vibrating every time the motor ran, and it would be really hard on everything. The best foundation for that motor is a rubber block. Sometimes in our lives, we need to have foundations which have a little bit of give. We don't always know everything. We trust that the Spirit will lead us and guide us. And we need to leave that flexibility in there. The last thing I wanted to say about foundations is that our foundations need to reflect love over doctrinal purity. Let me explain. When Jesus came along, the religious leaders knew exactly what God wanted them to do, and they did it. Rigorously and heartlessly, they were exactly right in their theology, and they had hearts of stone. And Jesus said, "You missed the point." They were so rigid that they didn't recognize that God was right here in the person of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4 says, if we say we love God, which means we follow him, and we hate the person we're sitting beside, I don't think we know what we're talking about over here. Our church foundation needs to be that we love God. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and that's enough. Love your neighbor as yourself. That has to be part of our foundation as a church, that we love each other. And it doesn't matter what we say and what we believe. If we haven't incorporated love into ourselves, into our church, the rest doesn't mean anything. Love is part of the foundation. So what I'm saying, all the things I've said, are an expansion on Jesus is our only foundation. Now let's build on that. What? We've got the foundation now. We figured out what the straw is. We don't want to build with that. So what are the bricks that God builds with to build the church? You. 1 Peter 2:5. We are living stones being built into a spiritual house. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets me really excited and scared at the same time. Excited to know that all of us, for all of us, there's a place to play in God's economy. But, can I measure up? So there's a few things that we need to do. One of them is, for us to be living stones, we first of all have to have encountered Jesus Christ. We have to come face to face with who he is and say, yes, I want to follow the way of Jesus, turn our lives around. To be born from above, to use terminology from John chapter 3. To be adopted into God's family. There's lots of pictures in the Bible about what we call becoming Christians. And the second thing we need to do, really importantly, is we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Paul, talking to the church in Philippi in Philippians 5 verse 18, says, be filled with the Spirit. But it's not done in a punctiliar sense. It's not, were you ever filled with Spirit? Yes, I was. 17 years ago on August 1st. Okay, that's done. He's talking about it in an ongoing way. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Every morning when you wake up, say, God, I want you to fill me with your Spirit so I can faithfully follow you. That's what he's talking about. So those are the two things that we need to do. Turn around to follow Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in our lives. Now, the way that God turns us into the boards or the bricks that we need to be is that he works through us with his Spirit. If any of you have been building your deck lately, some of you have used composite material. That's not what we're talking about today. If you buy wood that's been pressure treated, you know the stuff I mean? It's brown or green. They start with an ordinary board. They shove it through this machine which infuses the stuff with this wood preservative. And you land up with material which costs four times as much, but when you stick it on your deck, it actually stays there for 15 years. If you don't do that, it rots out on you in a couple of years. That's a little bit what the Holy Spirit does to us, I think. That analogy falls apart if you push it too far, but you get the idea. There's three places in the New Testament or in the epistles where we read about the gifts of the Spirit. In Romans 12, which James read earlier, in 1 Corinthians 12, oh, we're almost done, I guess. 1 Corinthians 12 and in Ephesians chapter 4. Lists of gifts of the Spirit, they're not meant to be definitive. I read a passage where somebody, or an article where somebody said they counted up every time they talked about gifts of the Spirit in the Bible, and there was about 27. The idea is that somewhere along the way, God works through us to do something extraordinary, and that's a gift of the Spirit. So what are the gifts of the Spirit? They're not the same as our natural ability. Some of us are good at certain things and some are good at others. But God often works in that area in our lives. So if we are really outgoing, we'll often land up doing things that greeting people in church or talking to people at work or whatever it is, we're outgoing. Gifts of the Spirit aren't the same as the skills that we learn in our life, but God often uses those skills. So if you've studied music, the church will say, oh, you want to be part of the music committee or get up here on stage once in a while to help us worship? Or if you've learned some good leadership skills, those also can be used in the church. The gifts of the Spirit is when we all open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and He works through us to do extraordinary things. Now, I've talked before about this, but I guess I'm saying it again. I have something that helps me. I call it the loaves and fishes principle. You've heard me talk about that. And that is, we take what we have, give it to God, and God does extraordinary things. In the story of the feeding of the 5,000, a little boy comes to Jesus with his lunch. They've got 5,000 plus to feed, and you've got a lunch prepared for one little boy. Jesus takes that lunch and feeds 5,000. Did the little boy feed the 5,000? Well, sorta, kinda, not really. He was faithful in bringing what he had, and God worked through what he had and did something extraordinary. That's how the gifts work. We come presenting what we have, our gifts, our skills, and whatever is going on in our life. And God uses that to touch people's lives. It always amazes me. I get up here and mumble for 25 minutes, and what have I got to say? I mean, seriously, folks. And somehow, once in a while, God uses that to touch hearts. Every time that happens, it's a miracle. I just brought a little lunch with words that go this far. And somehow God uses them. Amazing. And that's what God wants to do with us. So how does that work itself out in the church? There's an organized way and a more serendipitous way in which that happens. The organized way is, we've put together a church in a way, we've put together a church in a way that we think is the best way that we can be the faithful church in North Kildonan in 2015. So, we have Sunday school, and we have boys club, and we have caregivers, and we have all sorts of things to help us respond to what we think God wants us to respond to. Our children need to hear the story. They need to be felt like they're an important part of the church. So we have these programs. We have caregivers to respond to the people who are hurting, to help celebrate important life passages. And so what we say to people is, hey, can you help out? Could you be a greeter on a Sunday morning? Could you help take the offering? Could you be a worship leader? What is it you can do? And we have so many people stepping up saying, I don't know if I'm the best at that, but I'm willing. And again, what are we doing? Opening ourselves to the Spirit. And God has worked through many of you in such wonderful and delightful ways. It's great. By the way, we're short a few caregivers. We're going to be tapping you on the shoulder, but maybe this is the tap on the shoulder. If you feel that this is something that you could do, come and talk to me. We could use about another 4 units there. Unit is an individual or a couple or whatever. So, That's one way we see the gifts of the Spirit working. Another way is in a more serendipitous way, and that is we're open to God's working, and God works through you to touch people. And so I see people, you saw the passage that James read. It says in the end of chapter 12, or in chapter 12 of Romans, if you can prophesy, then do a good job. Prophesy is often telling clearly the word of God. If you can help, help. If you can give, be generous. If you can teach, go teach. Just, what can you do? Go do it, is what he's saying. And so I watch here, and I see, as people are going through a hard time, people putting an arm around their shoulder. Somebody needs, how do we show people we love them? Bring them soup, right? Maybe not wolf soup, but soup. And you do that. People need to be visited. You're there. I go to the hospital to visit people. I have to stand in line because the rest of you are there because you care. Welcoming people when they come into church. Caring about your children. So many things that when there's a need, you just are there. You're exercising the gifts of the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? And so, what we want to say today is continue to do that. What happens when we do? When we are faithful and allow the Spirit of God to work through us, and we show that we do the teaching and the generosity and the caring and all the other things he talks about, good things happen. Number one, it does great things for us. After you've talked to somebody and they've shared with you and cried on your shoulder and you go home, doesn't that feel good? I mean, you mattered. You were important in that person's life at that moment. It gives us a real sense of belonging. We also are participating in the church. It builds the church up. We're all working at this together. There are so many ways in which the church grows as we allow God to work through us, as we allow God to use the gifts of the Spirit in us. May you experience the joy and excitement of opening yourself to allowing God to use you as building material in his church.
Be my vision, be my
to invite you to stand for the benediction and for the last song, please. And now, O special and chosen people of God, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, with streams of abundance.